When you examine society and you examine the world, the cultures of the world, and the different nations and the different peoples that live on the earth, you come to understand that they have all, in one way or another, developed their own systems for worshiping God and for celebrating certain days. And I think this is natural. I didn't say it was right. I said it is natural because God built into us, it's part of our nature, especially with the spirit of man in us, it's part of our nature to want to worship something that is bigger than us. Some people worship the moon. Some people worship the sun. Some people worship idols. And that's just part of the nature of man. The problem is, however, that society that is not connected to God, people that are not connected to God, they come up with substitutes for the true God. That is what has happened when we consider the holiday Halloween. Men have come up, men and women, society has come up with its own ideas of how Halloween, or should Halloween be observed or not. Today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the customs and the practices that come from the observance of Halloween. Halloween takes place, I think, next Thursday evening. And it's probably one of the strangest customs of our society. Now, if you're religious, you can see the logic, misplaced, however, you can see the logic with Christmas because it centers around Christ. And you can see maybe the logic of Easter because it centers around resurrections and death of the Savior and atonement and all of that. But you really can't do that with Halloween. Halloween is a custom and a holiday that is very, very strange because it doesn't really have any religious significance. It's got a religious background, but it's not observed because of a religious reason. Some people observe it because it's just fun for the kids. Although I have heard that Halloween, people spend more money on Halloween than on any other holiday, because most adults will spend money to dress up and to do various things on Halloween. And so I understand that Halloween, most adults will spend more money on that holiday than on any other holiday during the course of the year. Now, this may be to some people a fun holiday for your children. You dress them up, you send them out, they get candies, things like that. They go to parties, they bob for apples, things like that. But this fun holiday has a veneer or a coating that's very ancient and that comes from very dark, sinister practices. So we're going to look at the holiday of Halloween today. That's where we're going with this sermon. Now, where does Halloween come from? First thing we need to look at is where does Halloween come from? The name Halloween comes from the Old English word, which means hallowed eve or holy evening. You got hallowed and then you got eve, and it's been shortened to Halloween. It is also known as All Saints' Eve or All Saints' Day, because on November the 1st, the Catholics observe All Saints' Day. So if you're observing Halloween, you're actually observing a day that's connected not only with paganism and with witches and with all of those sinister aspects, you're also celebrating a day that's connected with the Catholic Church. And I'll show you that in a minute. Now I'm going to read you a couple of articles from the World Book Encyclopedia and the Encyclopedia Britannica. Now, there was a time, hard to believe, when you wanted to know something, you had to actually go to the library and look it up in these things that are called books. And when my children were little, 7, 8, 9, often on the Sabbath and sometimes before a worldly holiday, I would take them to the library. There was no internet. I would take them to the library. And if it was happening today, I'd sit them down in front of the computer. But back then, I would take them to the library and I'd give them a roll of dimes, because that's what it costs to make a copy. And I would tell them, tomorrow is such and such a day. Go find articles out of the encyclopedias that concern this day and make copies of them. So off they would go and they would come back and we would sit down, either at home or sometimes in a room there in the library, and we would go over what we had what they had copied. So the articles I'm going to read you, the World Book Encyclopedia article and the Encyclopedia Britannica article, are actually articles that some of my children brought me back, 20, 25 years ago when they were smaller. So bear that in mind. Here's a World Book Encyclopedia on Halloween. Very much the same information you can get online nowadays. Halloween is a festival celebrated on October the 31st. Its name means hallowed or holy evening because it takes place before All Saints Day. Now let me stop quoting there and let you tell you a little bit about All Saints Day. If you were ever a good Catholic, which I was once, every day has a saint associated with it. Every day there is a saint. For every day of the year, there's a saint. And good Catholics will pray to that saint, male or female saint, on that day for whatever that saint represents. If you're really a really hardcore Catholic, if you're born on that day, sometimes they will name you after the saint that represents that day. So each day has a saint. Now, what they've done is they've chosen November the 1st as All Saints Day, when they celebrate and venerate all the saints together. So on each particular day, they would venerate and celebrate one saint. But on All Saints Day, they would celebrate all of them. So this is where All Saints Day came from. It is a Catholic day on which all of the saints are noted and worshiped, and prayers are offered up to them. Many superstitions and symbols are connected with Halloween. I'm not reading you all the article, just some of it I've highlighted. The Druids, an order of priests in ancient Gaul and Britain, believed that on Halloween, ghosts, spirits, fairies, witches, and elves came out to harm people. They thought the cat was sacred and believed that cats had once been human beings but were changed as a punishment for evil deeds. From these druidic beliefs came the present-day use of witches, ghosts, and cats in Halloween festivities. Black cats have a lot of significance to those that are in touch with the powers of darkness. As a matter of fact, if you have a black cat and you like your black cat, they tell you on Halloween to put it inside because black cats are abducted for all kinds of rituals. I'm not exaggerating, because they believe, as it says here, that they were once human beings, were changed into cats for punishment. Let me continue with the quote. The Druids had an autumn festival called Samhain. It's spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain, or summer's end. It was an occasion for feasting on all kinds of food which had been grown during the summer. The people of Europe had a festival similar to the Druid holiday. In the 700s, the Roman Catholic Church named November the 1st as All Saints Day. The old pagan customs and the Christian feast day were combined into Halloween festivals. Now, from the Catholic point of view, the people that observed Samhain on October the 31st were pagans, and they were observing non-Christian rituals. And the church wanted to get all these people to come into the church. So instead of teaching them the truth, what they did is they established a holiday, a church holiday, on All Saints Day, November the 1st, and they told them, look, you are trying to placate spirits and souls that are not here. Come worship with us, and you can make it part of what we do on All Saints Day. So they were kind of married together, and Halloween is the evening before All Saints Day. When do the days start? They start at evening. So it was the beginning of All Saints Day. Let me read you out of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Once again, this is one of the articles that one of my children made a copy of, and I have it in my notes. Encyclopedia Britannica, article Halloween. Halloween, also called All Hallows' Eve, or evening, a holy or hallowed evening observed on October the 31st, the eve of All Saints' Day. In modern times, it is the occasion for pranks and for children requesting treats or threatening tricks. Try to say that five times fast. In ancient Britain and Ireland, the Celtic festival of Samhain was observed on October the 31st at the end of summer. Stop the quote here. Long before All Hallows' Eve was a holiday, and long before it was connected to the Catholic All Saints' Day, it was observed by the pagan Druids as a day. Back to the quote. This date was also the eve of the new year, and both Celtic and Anglo-Saxon times, and was the occasion for one of the ancient fire festivals where huge bonfires were set on hilltops to frighten away evil spirits. The date was connected with the return of herds from pasture, and the laws and land tenures were renewed. The souls of the dead were supposed to revisit their homes on this day, and the autumnal festival acquired sinister significance with ghosts, witches, hobgoblins, black cats, fairies, and demons of all kinds said to be roaming about. Doesn't have a very pristine source, does it? It was a time to placate the supernatural powers controlling the processes of nature. In addition, Halloween was thought to be the most favorable time for divinations concerning marriage, luck, health, and death. It was the only day on which the help of the devil was invoked for such purposes. The pagan observance influenced the Christian festival of All Hallows' Eve, celebrated on the same day. Gradually, Halloween became a secular observance, and many customs and practices developed. So that's kind of a primer on where Halloween came from. Now, we can see how the modern practice of children dressing up as ghosts, goblins, monsters, etc., and demanding food following the tradition of the ancient pagans. Trick-or-treat literally means give us something that we want or we're going to put a curse or a trick on you. And they believed that the dead spirits coming back to these houses, the spirits that had died the previous year, came back to the place they had died, usually in somebody's home. And when they came back, these evil spirits had the power to do evil to you. So they would set out food, and they would set out items that they thought would please these spirits. And if the spirits were happy, if they were well fed, if they were provided the proper treats, then they would leave and not cause problems for the household. If they didn't, you didn't treat the spirits right, this is all paganism, it's not actually what happens, then the spirits would stay around and trouble the household for some time. Now, the Catholic Church tried to modify these customs. And so, as I said, they began All Hallows' Eve and tried to convert the Celts and the Anglo-Saxons who were involved in all of this into coming out of that and observing this festival as a way to observe the day of All Saints' Day. Now, I'm going to read you another article. This one is from the following website, www.wicca.com. You know what Wicca is? Wicca is the religion of witches and warlocks. Yes, they have their own website, just like everybody else does. And it says, when you go to the website, it says, welcome to one of the largest Wicca, pagan, and witchcraft sites on the internet. So if you're a good pagan, if you're a witch or a warlock, this is one of your prime areas to go to get information and to interface on the internet. This is an article on that website on Samhain. Now, before I get into this article, let me mention a couple of things. Maybe I've told you these things before, but it bears repeating here. The pagans will often write to these websites, and they have blogs and various things like that, like everybody else does. You know, if you go to a website where you want to know about your car, you enter in, you know, noise, rear bearing, the model of your car, and they'll tell you what they think is wrong with it. Because they have advisors there that will tell you what they think is wrong with your car. Well, they have advisors on these pagan websites. And many years ago, I was doing some research for Christmas, and a pagan, not a religious person, but a pagan wrote into one of these blogs and said, I feel guilty because I'm keeping Christmas. This is a pagan. He said, I feel guilty because I'm keeping Christmas. And we know that Christmas is a religious holiday. Please advise me. Well, the person that was answering the reply said, don't worry about it. Christmas was pagan long before the Christians got a hold of it. So just keep Christmas. keep it with a clean conscience because you're actually keeping something that's pagan, which is absolutely true. So that was one of the answers on this website. So let me read you what it says about Samhain, this article. October the 31st, Samhain Eve, also known as November's Eve, Feast of the Dead, Feast of Apples. Bobbing for apples, you ever heard of that on Halloween? Hallows and All Hallows Eve. Possibly the biggest witches festival of the year. Samhain is a time to remember those who have passed on, celebrate the summer's end, and prepare for the winter months ahead. The sun, God, and the earth fall into slumber as the night lengthens and the winter begins. The last day of October marked the end of the Celtic old year, I'm still quoting, and the beginning of the new. The time was considered by the Celts, and many craft traditions to be cracked between the worlds. So what they thought is there was a world of the dead, and there was a world of the living, and somehow this was a portal between the two worlds. And this was a time when it was easy to go from the land of the living to the land of the dead and vice versa. Let me read you what, continue with a quote. As time passed between one year and another, it belonged to neither, standing beyond the confines of normal reality. It was believed to be the one night when the veil that separates our world from the next was at its thinnest, allowing the dead to return to the world of the living, where their spirit and memory would be welcome and celebrated by a feast attended by their kin. The Feast of the Dead was a festival of remembrance honoring those who had left this world. On this night, the deceased were believed to make their way back from the grave to revisit their old homes. In many areas on the eve of Samhain, people would leave their houses lit throughout the night to help the dead find their way along the dark paths from the tomb. And once these travelers arrived, they were welcomed and refreshed with food and drink. Many prepared a feast and set a plate at the table for their dead relatives. On the eve of November the 1st, or on the morning of the following day, the custom in parts of Europe was to bake soul cakes, or soul bread, for those returning souls. So they would feed the returning people that were dead. Let me read you what it says about how this got inculcated into religion. This is from a Wiccan site. The Christian religion has adopted this day as All Saints' Day or All Hallows' Day, celebrating the eve as All Hallows' Eve or Halloween, and they're absolutely correct. The superstitions and misconceptions linked to this celebration by the early church led people to take some unusual precautions to protect themselves. They adopted the tradition of dressing in frightening costumes or disguises so they wouldn't recognize it. The demons or the returning spirits wouldn't recognize you. And carrying jack-o'-lanterns to help protect them from spirits they considered to be evil. In the British Isles, the young people would disguise themselves with hideous masks and walk through the village, lighting their way with lanterns made from carved turnips. This is what it advises you. This is what the Wiccan website advises you if you're interested in Halloween. However you choose to celebrate Samhain, be adventurous and investigate some of the older traditions. There's a large amount of interesting and sometimes comical lore surrounding this date. It is okay to dress up as witches or goblins and have fun with the more nonsense aspects of this holiday. However, it is good to set aside some time to learn the true meaning behind this date and follow those observances as our ancestors did. So that's a very interesting article about Samhain, which is another term for Halloween. Now, let's look at why this holiday is so popular. I mean, you think you have a holiday that has to do with witches and goblins and demons and the dead. And we in this nation pride ourselves on being very intelligent and very esoteric and very cultured. And yet Halloween is very much inculcated into the culture of the United States and various other nations. Why do we have this common thread through all the cultures that there are? You know, this is celebrated in Mexico. It's celebrated in Europe. It's celebrated in the United States. It's celebrated in parts of Africa. It's celebrated by religious people. It's celebrated by Wiccans. Why? Well, it's got the same source. The source is found in Revelation chapter 12. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And in verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So not only was Satan cast out, remember the one-third of the angels you read about earlier in this chapter? Those one-third of all the angels became demons. They were cast out with him. You read the rest of this chapter and the other places that concern Satan in Revelation 12, and you find out he's been cast down to where? The earth. So we have Satan and many demons that are now on the earth, and they are giving impetus to this holiday. That's why it is so popular, because it has the same source. Satan, here in verse 9, it doesn't say who deceives the New Agers, who deceives the Protestants, who deceives the Catholics, who deceives those that are pagans. It doesn't say that. It says deceives the whole world. Everybody is deceived, brethren, just about. And the reason is because Satan is a very powerful being. You know, we've had Bible studies. We have a holy day that concerns Satan being bound and removed. And the reason is because he's very good at what he does. The reason that this world observes this holiday is because Satan has inspired it to be observed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're looking at why it is so popular among not only Christians but pagans. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We have physical problems. We have physical challenges. It might be our job. It might be our health. It might be our neighbor. It might be our relatives. It might be money. It might be the car's not working right. Brethren, if those are your only problems, you don't have any. Okay? Those are your only problems, you don't have any. Because there's problems that we're dealing with and the world is dealing with that are more sinister than that. And that is found in verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We have a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And when I say spiritual, some people think, oh, it's spiritual, then it's really not real. No, no. Spirit matter is more real than physical, if matter is a correct word to use. Spirit essence, or the spirit world, is more real. It's been around since forever. And it exists long after the atoms and molecules and the things we see cease to exist, because matter is not eternal. And we have a fight against what? Against spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. Satan is a very, very real being, brethren. And Satan is alive and well. And Satan has deceived the whole world. And our challenge as Christians, and the world too, but we know the source of our challenge, our challenge is the spirit world. The practices of Halloween all take place when? Bright sunlight at noon? No, at night. Who loves darkness more than Satan and his demons? Let's look at Luke chapter 22. We're looking at why this holiday is so popular. Luke chapter 22. And it is not harmless fun, brethren. Pumpkins and black cats and things like that are not harmless fun. They are emblems for a problem that the whole world is facing. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. You know, what does he mean, sift you as wheat? You've heard of going to run you through the meat grinder? Sort of what it means. He's going to just chew you into little pieces. Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know, God, why didn't God just say, I'm protecting you from Satan? Because it depended on the choices that Simon made. God was saying, I hope you make the right choices, Simon. Because, you know, we can all follow Satan if we want. And I can't, you know, I pray for each one of you, and you should be praying for me. I pray for my children. I pray for all my friends and relatives that they would do what is right, but it is entirely their choice. And here we have a couple of things that are very interesting. Satan has asked for you. You remember Satan telling God, of course Job loves you. You protected him. But if you do this and you do that, then he's going to curse you to your face. And God said, you know what? Go ahead. See what he does. We're being protected, brethren. Satan can only do so much. He can only do so much. And Peter was the chief of the apostles until Paul and James, Jesus' brother, came online. He was one of the head apostles. But he was not the only apostle. But what I'm getting at is Satan wanted to get a hold of Simon Peter. Because Simon Peter was in the church. He was there at the very beginning. And if Satan could get in there with Simon and deceive him, no telling what the church would have looked like. Satan is very sinister. He works his way through organizations. He works his way through families. He wants to get to the father, to get to the wife, to get to the children. He wants to get to the mother, to get to the children. He wants to get to your employer, to get to you. I mean, Satan is very sinister. And the reason that Halloween is so popular is because Satan makes it popular. I mean, just think about it. We have a holiday with witches and dead things, and yet all the children who we protect from all kinds of things are just introduced to it and lap it up. That's how deceived the world is. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 11. Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Notice what it says in verse 10. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one of your sakes, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ. In other words, we should be willing to forgive anybody. One of the chief ways that God, that Satan gets a hold of people is through a root of bitterness, or through being offended, or through not wanting to forgive your brothers. True or false? The forgiveness you get from God is equal to the forgiveness you give other people. True. So if God or Satan can get you to be unforgiving, then he's got a hold of you. You got to be very careful that you forgive others. Not for their sake, but you know, for their sake. Because it's good for them that you forgive them, but it's good for you. It's not good that you carry around grudges. You ever met a person that carried around a grudge? And all they could do was think about that grudge, and it affected them. He owes me $50, and I'm never going to forgive him. And that $50 is chewing on him for 35 years. It's a lot easier to say, keep the $50. It's not a problem. No problem at all. So be very careful, brethren. It says right here that we need to be careful that we don't let Satan get into our mind. Because if he gets into your mind, brethren, it's very hard to get him out. It's very hard to get him out. Satan is attacking the church of God. Now you might say, how's he doing that? He's been doing that since the church has been around. I'm not, you know, saying anything that's happening now that hasn't happened in the past. Satan has been attacking the church since the day it was created. He tried to get to Peter. And he's trying to get to you, and he's trying to get to me. He's trying to destroy the ministry. And he's trying to destroy you and your spiritual faith and all of those things that come with being a Christian. And we have to be careful, brethren, that we don't let these things that we're talking about in this sermon affect us. There are real evil spirits, brethren. Not ghosts and goblins, but there are real evil spirits that inhabit this world. Let's go to Jude chapter 6. Let's look at some of those spiritual wickedness in high places. Jude, it didn't have a chapter, so we're going to look at, Jude has one chapter. So we're going to look at Jude verse 6. Jude verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. There are fallen angels, brethren. One third of the angels were led into rebellion by Satan. One third were led into rebellion by Satan. These angels are being talked about here. They are reserved for darkness and the day of judgment. Let me ask you a question. What is the physical symbol for an angel? Stars. Revelation, seven stars. The stars, you know, one third of them. Satan deceived them, led them into rebellion. The evening star and the morning star, Satan is called a star. Angels are called stars. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says. Notice verse 13. We're looking at these spirit beings. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These stars one day are going to be in a place of darkness. You can make a lot of analogies there. But they're going to be in a place of darkness where their light's not going to shine anymore. Forever. And these beings, brethren, are alive and well. They're working on us. And they're working on our children. They try to make us angry and bitter towards each other as brethren in the church. Take away peace in a congregation. Tries to destroy the ministry. Takes away peace in the family by immorality and wasting of time. How much time do we waste, brethren? You know, television is good. Entertainment is good. Fishing is good. All those things are good. Cooking is good. How much time do we waste? I didn't say it's wrong to do those. But how much time do we waste when we should be doing other things? Satan is a great deceiver, and he helps us. He makes it easy for us to want to waste time. We don't have much time, brethren. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. What is the destiny of these fallen spirits? These are the spirits we're fighting against in this holiday and various other holidays, but more so in this one. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. Matthew 8, verse 28. When he had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" These fallen spirits are going to be sent in a place of torment. I'm not talking about hell. I'm talking in a place where they're going to be sent, blackness of darkness forever, and they're going to be tormented because they're not going to be able to be involved in doing the things they were doing before. So I want you to understand, my friends, that there is a real spirit world. There is a real spirit world. And it's full of fallen angels, spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's the reason that this holiday is so popular, because the world is in deceived by Satan. And it's very easy to do what Satan wants. Now let's look at some of the pagan roots of Halloween. I'm going to go to my second point here. Some of the customs of Halloween, where they originated from. Where did the jack-o'-lantern originate? The pumpkin with a carved face and the candle inside. The carved pumpkin may have originated with the witch's use of a collection of skulls with a candle in each to light the way to coven meetings. What the witches would do is they would take a skull, they would hollow out the top, and they would put a candle inside, and the light would go through the eye sockets and out the bottom of the mouth and all of that. And they would use these as lanterns as they went to their meetings. You remember the virgins in Matthew 25? They had a lamp. Satan is very good at copying things. And so they have these skulls that have got a candle in them, and they were used by the witches on their way to their meetings. But among the Irish, this is what one of the articles says, but among the Irish who has promoted the popularization of Halloween in America, the legend of Irish Jack explains a jack-o'-lantern. Jack's lantern. That's what jack-o'-lantern means. It's lantern that belonged to Jack. Who is Jack? According to the legend, a stingy drunk named Jack tricked the devil into climbing an apple tree for an apple. Bobbing for apples? But then cut the sign of the cross into the trunk of the tree to prevent the devil from coming down. Jack then forced the devil to swear that he would never come after Jack's soul. The devil reluctantly agreed. Jack eventually died, as we all do, but he was turned away at the gates of heaven because of his drunkenness and his life of selfishness. So he wasn't allowed to go into heaven. He was sent to the devil, who also rejected him because the devil had promised that he would not get his soul. Since Jack had no place to go, he was condemned to wander the earth. As he was leaving hell, he happened to be eating a turnip in this legend, the devil threw a live coal at him. He put the coal inside the turnip and has since forever been roaming the earth with his jack-o'-lantern in search of a place to rest. Disembodied spirits roaming the earth. Now, when the custom of Halloween came to the United States, you know, turnips, we look at turnips in the grocery store and they're about this big. Turnips can get really big. That's what they used in England and in Scotland and in Ireland. When that holiday came to the United States, there was not that many turnips here. Ah, but pumpkins fit the bill nicely. So they began to do the same thing with pumpkins. And that's where the jack-o'-lantern came from. How did the idea of trick-or-treating begin? The tradition, I've already mentioned what happened. The dead would come back to a house. If you did not leave a meal out or a treat out or whatever out, then the spirit would trouble your house for the rest of the year. They're dealing with demonism and possession and all of that. And so you left a treat out so that you wouldn't get tricked. So now we teach our children to go from house to house begging for treats. If not, they could trick the occupants of the house. How about Halloween customs? Let me give you a hint. Ku Klux Klan. What? You know why the Ku Klux Klan members wore white robes with holes in the top and the hoods? So that you wouldn't recognize who was there at the meetings. It was to protect your identity. Halloween masks and costumes were used to hide one's attendance at pagan festivals. So when you went to a pagan festival, and I'm not going to get into what all went on at these pagan festivals, because we're here at a church meeting, but you can well imagine it has to do with Satan and his immoral lifestyle. So it protected those who were attending pagan festivals, because you didn't know who it was. Or in traditional shamanism, to change the personality of the wearer to allow for communication with the spirit world. In other words, if you put on the face of this demon, then you became like him. Among the Native Americans. They would dress up in buffalo robes, or they'd dress up in an elk robe, or they'd dress up with horns of a deer. They believed that if they dressed up as these animals, they would become like these animals. They would become as fast as a deer, as powerful as a bear, as strong as a buffalo. And so a lot of people would dress up in these costumes because they wanted to take on the nature of whatever it was that they were dressing up as. An additional layer of tradition explaining the origin of Halloween costumes comes from the medieval Catholic practice of displaying the relics of saints on All Saints' Day. Do you know, brethren, that if you're a Catholic, and I'm not giving you anything that's out of the ordinary here, this is, you can find this in the Catholic writings, that all Catholic altars, where the priest offers up the blood and the wine and the bread, all Catholic altars must have a relic incorporated into the altar. So you have to have the bone of some saint, or a piece of cloth of some saint, or a piece of the ark of a piece of Noah's Ark, or whatever, or the cross, a piece of Christ's cross, or the robe that, you know, a thread from St. Peter's robe. And these were called relics, and you had to have one. Now notice what it says here. As an additional layer of tradition explaining the origin of Halloween costumes comes from the medieval Catholic practice of displaying the relics of saints on All Saints' Day. The poorer churches could not afford relics in the Middle Ages. If you wanted to make some money, you went into the business of selling relics. There were so many pieces of the cross sold by relic salesmen that when you put them all together, you could make 40 or 50 crosses. You can imagine what kind of fraud went on. But anyway, the poorer churches could not afford relics, because it costs a lot of money to buy, you know, to buy a piece of the diaper that Jesus the child wore. I'm not exaggerating. So instead instituted a procession with parishioners dressed as the patron saints. The extras dressed as angels or devils, and everyone paraded around the courtyard. I've been to many South American sites and sites in Mexico where they would stop the traffic for the religious procession to go by. And this is exactly what was going on. What about nuts and fruits on Halloween? Apples. Bobbing for apples. Halloween traditions often involve fruit centerpieces, apples, and nuts. Three of the sacred fruits of the Celts were acorns, apples, and nuts, especially the hazelnut, considered a god, and the acorn because the acorn gave rise to the oak tree. You ever read in the Old Testament about the sacred pillars and the sacred oak trees? They worshiped the oak because it was very strong. It's a large tree, and it lived a long time. Fruits and nuts all seem to be related to the Roman harvest festival. For example, in ancient Rome, listen to this, in ancient Rome, cider was drawn, and the Romans bobbed for apples. You thought the bobbing of apples originated recently. The Romans did that thousands of years ago when they observed the traditions that later became Halloween. Let's look at some scriptures, part three. Let's look at some scriptures that talk about pagan customs. There are lots of scriptures, but I don't have time to give them all to you. I'm going to give you a few of them. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah 29. Verse 13. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear towards me is taught by the commandment of men. If you read the Bible from beginning to end, you don't find anything in there about you should observe Halloween. You don't find anything in there about you should observe Christmas. You should observe Easter. None of these holidays are mentioned. And yet they are being taught as doctrines because of the traditions of men. Halloween is a tradition of men, brethren. It originated with men through the inspiration of these spiritual entities we've been talking about. But people want to do their own thing in their own way. They don't want to follow God. You know what happens if you follow God? Well, there's moral laws in there, and we have to do these moral things, and we want to do what we want to do. We don't be told what to do. I don't be told what to do on the Sabbath. I don't be told how to act in the bedroom. I don't be told how to live my life. Getting personal now. There's a problem with the Bible. That's why people don't follow the dictates of the Bible. That's why there's not more people in here. Matthew chapter 15. This scripture has been quoted here, Matthew 15, verse 9. We quote it quite a lot in the church, but the background is from Isaiah. Verse 9, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Be careful, brethren. I need to be careful. You need to be careful that what we're doing is not a commandment of man, but it is a commandment of God. Deuteronomy chapter 12. The classic scripture we read. And verse 29. Mine has a little heading above it. It says, "Beware of false gods." It's amazing, brethren, that the translators of the Bible who did not have the Holy Spirit know the subject here. Beware of false gods. Oh yeah, that was for those people in the Old Testament. They had to be careful with those false gods. We're very intelligent here and very enlightened. You know, we have computers and we have so much knowledge that we're not going to be seduced by false gods and weird religious things that we shouldn't be doing. We're so smart. People are the same. The same 300-500 years ago, 2,000-3,000 years ago. People were the same. Same thing that rang their bell rings our bell. People are the same. Once you understand this, you understand a lot about human nature. It's not that people are against you so much. It's that they're for themselves. They're for themselves. So everything they look at is from their point of view. Once you understand that about people, you can see a lot of what they're doing and why they're doing it. It's not that they don't want to do what you want. It's they want to do what they want. And, you know, we've been called in the church, and what are we supposed to do? Supposed to do what God wants. That's a whole different mindset. We're looking at scriptures that condemn Halloween and customs like it. Verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you shall go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. Scientists are trying to develop a neutron bomb, I think it's called. And what this does is it kills everybody, but it doesn't destroy any buildings. So the buildings are safe, and the cars are okay, and the shopping malls are all right. Because when you have wars and you want to take over a country, you go in there and you blow everything up, you got to rebuild everything. But if you can have a weapon that just kills people and leaves things alone, think about what an advantage that would be if you could drop a couple of those on a major city and kill everybody. So they're developing all of these kind of weapons. What's this have to do with this scripture? The children of Israel were going to go into the promised land. And you know what God did to drive the inhabitants out? Read about it. He sent in the hornets. And the hornets ran everybody out of the country. So all of the houses were left. And all of the gardens were left, and all of the fields were left, and all of the property was left. Verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land because of all the hornets I'm going to send in, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their God, saying, "How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise." You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. You ever read about how people cast their children into Molech, into the fire? Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. You want to know what God wants you to do? Do what he tells you to do and don't change it. Don't add Christmas to it. Don't add Halloween to it. Don't add your own ideas to it. I think it would be a good idea if we worship God this way. When somebody tells you that, got to be careful. I think it would be a good idea in some respects to have prayer back in school. But then you ask the question, whose prayers are going to be offered? Whose prayers are you going to, whose prayers are you going to be saying amen to if you can? You know, you're in a public place and somebody prays, you got to really listen to the prayer closely. Because when you say amen, it means I agree or so be it. And if you have somebody up there saying things that are not biblical, you cannot say amen to it. Do not add to it or take away from it. Do what God says. Nowhere in the scriptures is the teaching about Halloween being taught. It tells you not to do the things associated with it, but nowhere does it tell you to do that. So there are many scriptures condemning this type of holiday. Why is it so popular? Because it has the same source. And Satan wants to destroy human beings. He wants to either physically destroy them through wars, or he wants to mentally destroy them through the things that they observe and the things they do. You know, I don't normally watch television at the Feast of Tabernacles, just once in a while. And I was in my room, and I was watching television because I had a few minutes. And you know, if you're going to condominium or hotel, I mean, you have a controller there, and you can punch in 345, and 345 channel will come on. And then you can punch in 847, and 847th channel comes on. So you got about 900 channels. I'm going through all the channels one day, and there's nothing fit watching, worth watching. Nothing fit to watch. I was amazed at how many themes on television have to do with the occult, with demons and the dead and all of this type of stuff. Finally turned it off and found something else to do. Because the whole world is under the sway of this being in Revelation chapter 12 who wants to deceive the whole world. You and I, brethren, we need to be careful that we don't involve ourselves in these things. Halloween is not just a night of harmless fun for the kids. It is demonic. I don't know how else to say it. Demonic. The pagan and heathen tribes of ages gone by were inspired to establish that as part of their religious worship. And you know what we've done? Oop-de-doop-de-doop. I think I'll do the same thing too. Just go right along with it. But at the heart of Halloween is a pagan religious observance. It is dedicated to worshiping and placating the dead. Here we have a holiday. Its main purpose is to appease those that are dead. How ungodly is that? And we, our children, are our most prized possessions. We're teaching our children. I'm speaking, rhetorically here. The culture is teaching their children to, yes, go ahead and observe these days. If you want to know what days you should worship, go to the book of Leviticus. Now, in the book of Leviticus, there's a chapter in there that deals with the days you're supposed to keep. I'm not going to tell you which chapter it is, because you should know which one it is. Okay, it's Leviticus 23. You want to know what days you should keep? These are them. We just finished a cycle of holy days, brethren. We just finished with the last great day, which was the last of the days. And we have another cycle of holy days coming up next year. We are getting ready to face, in a week or so, one of the most pagan of all holidays, which is Halloween. Then we're going to be hit later on with Easter. And before that, we're going to be hit with Christmas. All of these holidays are not mentioned here in Leviticus. They're all kept by the world, most of them. Your job is to figure out what you should do, brethren. I'm here to kind of help you. But your job is to figure out what you should do. What does it say are the days here? Let's notice verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. You want to know what feast to keep? Read this chapter. I don't see Halloween in here. I don't see Easter in here. I don't see Valentine's Day in here. I don't see Christmas in here. What do I see? I see in verse 2, the Sabbath. 6 days you shall work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest. It is a holy convocation. Verse 5, Passover. Verse 6 and 7, the first and the last day of unleavened bread. Verse 15 and verse 16, Pentecost. Verse 24, seventh month, on the first day of the month, trumpets. Verse 27, tenth day of the seventh month, day of atonement. Verse 34, 15th day of the seventh month, full moon, feast of tabernacles. First day in verse 35, there's a meeting. Verse 36, on the last day, the eighth day, there's also a convocation. Last great day. These are the days we're supposed to be keeping. Isn't it amazing, brethren? You know, one of the things that really strikes me that I'm in the right place is that the days I keep, the world thinks are crazy. You know, you tell somebody, I keep the Day of Atonement. What? I keep the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Huh? But if you tell them, I keep Halloween. Oh, yeah, well, what we're going to do on Halloween. Everybody knows Halloween. So what I'm getting at is the days we're supposed to keep and not add to and not take away from are already listed for us. They're right there. And these days that we're mentioning, especially the day we're talking about Halloween, are not mentioned there. The holy days of God make sense, brethren. Once again, humanity has this desire, which is not wrong, to worship God. That's a good desire. We want to be in contact with the ruler and the creator of the universe. That's a good thing. But we get apart from God, and we come up with all kinds of ideas of how we should do this. And that's where the problem lies. Man, apart from God, has devised ceremonies, customs, and manners of worship to try to fill this void in his life, in their life. Nearly every observance of nearly every Christian and Protestant church today is descended from these ceremonies and customs. Very few are not. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving Day, things like that, based on godly principles. Almost all of them are based on customs that are not correct. Once again, God has told us on what days to worship Him. We're getting ready to start a new cycle of holy days in March and April of next year. We got to get past the hump with Halloween, Christmas, and these pagan days. Remember, brethren, the holy days of God, they make sense. They have a logical plan and purpose. People often say, I wish God would tell me what He was going to be doing. You and I already know what God's going to be doing. He's already told us. Look at the holy days. They give you the step in God's plan for you and for me. Keep these things in mind. Be thankful that you know the truth about Halloween and these other days, and be thankful that you understand the days you should be keeping.